Mackenzie Rail 11. So what about night time? What was the sort of nightly routines?
Nightly tunes stand.
Because I'm guessing that's when you did most of your work.
Well, you know, when you're down it, when we went up on the second one, we were up there. This is when we started doing everything then. Because we leave the Black Watch in it, the position wasn't very well catered for. They'd get quite a knocking on that one. So what we had to do on that one, we had to go in, transform it again, put it right, and then they were moving up there, so with them being there attacked, we had to put the patrols out. So it was mostly going out patrols and everything else to see where they were and what was happening. So it was intensive patrolling then. And on top of that, where the barbed wire and the minefield would be done, would have the engineers up, putting the minefields in, putting them right, and doing that. And we started at the end, that was the most of the thing after that one. Out, going out, starting so many men stand too, then we would go out to look for that one. And it was a small position, but it was a very vital one, that was what it was. So we start learning then how to patrol ourselves. And the first time I ever went out there was just getting this new, like, gear, you know, winter gear, but and it was rather cold. And the first time we went down into this, like, a village where it was being a farm, and we're lying up there. And we're lying up this time, those five were lying up there, with two Brents, me, and that one, and an officer. And we're lying up, and we're sitting there, and when we came there, we're out for about 4 to 5 hours. It'd be more noise, but that would be there, what was sat there for 4 or 5 hours, and we'd move off with the wireless, come on, move on. So when we're coming back over, you didn't go up the same route, you'd come back over, find your way up the other way. Now that's a tricky thing to do when you're out there, because not only you've got to look for the points, you've got to know where you're coming in and looking back all the time. It's great when you've got the compass and the angles, but again, when you see something, you can't find your way directly. It's easy to look, and there's a road there, but the paths, there's always going to be somebody on the other side, so you're up and one back to make sure, you know, you're not going to get hit by anybody when you're moving, and they were laying for you. And that was one thing I learned.
We'll come on a little bit more on the patrolling in a short while, because you did patrol on your first tour while you were there as well, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was only a practice, that was only for the practice, because you weren't really, although you're in the front there, you weren't really put to the test, as the saying goes.
What sort of other things would you be doing at night time then?
Oh, you would be cleaning things down. There's a couple of lads, mate, you would put somebody, this couple of pieces, somebody would get a couple of hours kept there, something like that, put them down, put them away in the trench. One would be stand, two would be down there. So that was what the type of life you had then. But it was mostly stand and looking over the trenches and making sure that nothing was moving. Then you have the people that was coming up for to do the checks, like engineers and that, you know. So they may be coming in and do those things. Then we'd have the gooks up there, because we'll get the new hutches then. They were bringing new woods up with the Germans. The Americans had brought in, sorry. The Americans were bringing these box things in. So we'd like digging them in. And of course, there'd be some of the time when they were being frozen, it exploding. You'd have to use explosives to get some of the holes in. Well, they. And then the post would go in. The gooks was doing that for us.
So that was going on at night.
Yeah, well, it was on the other side, on the other side of the hill, so you would have to be standing there, and that was that one. And on that hill we were on, there was a trench where, if you had to, when you go across, sniper. We didn't realise there's snipers and stuff like that. And that was another thing you had to learn. So you soon put the net over, you learn how to put a net over where you're going to cross. And you can all remember, get your head down, and it's nothing to stop crawling. And that's the best way to do it if you're going to come out of somewhere like that. And we'll start to deepen the trenches then. But hitting them trenches with a stone and frozen, it's very hard to do.
What about sleep then? How much sleep did you get?
Sleep when you were up there, you done it in the day. You done that during the day. 9 o'clock till 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock or 3, something 3. If you didn't draw the hoot, the boar pay, well, that was lucky. If you done that one, you got less 2 hours less because you had to go on the boar pay for an hour.
Observation point. Where were they? Were they dug out into the
officers? It was the officers where the officers were, and the phones was there. It was just the officers there. Missed that one. Used them because it was the phones, the radios, and that was what it was. So if you got heard anything, it came through on that one.
So you had to take a turn.
If the officer would be asleep, it would either be sergeants or that type of thing. But something we had to go in as well, the same day on that one. Another job you got.
So that was another duty that you had to do.
You wouldn't get it all. You got it, if you got it once, you were pretty, you know, there. Maybe depending on how you're up there. I think if you'd done it twice, you'd be damn pretty unlucky. Somebody's there skied.
What about, you mentioned, I think, artillery barrages. Was that often? Did that happen often, the artillery barrages?
Oh, it was nearly
a regular event.
Every night it was sending across. If you're down in there and you hear a noise or something, and you're down there and you see there's people moving or something like that one, which there was, if the Aussies was out on the sea, the Aussies up there, and they had getting in, because they would fire, and they'd bring a barrage down you. The mortars would come over you and everything else. Then you, when you're up there and learn that one, the first thing you learnt was the squares and what you were. And if you're listening post, if you were on a listening post, that was another blinking awful job where you had to go out and sit outside of people and let them go out. And you were there from say 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, sometimes 7 o'clock, and you would go out there up another way you lined up and sit there 3 years.
What were they? Were they? They were outside the
minefields. You went outside the minefield, just beside inside the mine, and outside the minefield. You opened the minefield up, so if there was a patrol gun out, the minefield was open so they could come in and out, because the footpath through the minefield, you've got to remember, from the top, you walk all the way down, it's a footpath. They're marked off. But at the end of the day, where you put the wires over, and you like everything else, so you can try to blind them up. And that was where you kept them, so they're coming in, so they couldn't get through them.
Yeah, so the pathways through the minefields were marked out.
Well, it wasn't marked out. You had the red spots on you there. They just got plates on. You keep out of this one. You got one there, both sides. But one side when something be missing, you had to go on the other side. But you kept the one side. You learned that once. Another thing you learned quickly. And listening post, you wrote from 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. Something's three.
So how far out were the listening posts?
Well, you had to find a spot where they could be placed. So you've got to remember, these are men that's intelligent enough to place where you could see, hear, and listen. And that's what it was. And when you're out, there was 4 years, so you'd have one sitting there, and you maybe let them, as soon as you get used to it, one could have an hour. But if you could sleep out there, you're damn bloody lucky. Like, but there's some good day it. And then it was what it was. 2 years down and 2 years up, and have the watching. Your turn. What you're there. But the first time you go, when the first week, nobody goes to sleep. You're out there for a. I mean, so that's it. But you'd only do one of them. You'd do two. You'd do two for the minefields. That was another job you had to do.
What was that?
Walk the minefields. Make sure there's nobody had been cutting the wire. I'm ready for a patrol, and sort them. Make sure they were right. And then you had to walk around there. And that was another nasty job you had to do. Because sometimes somebody would move away and you could walk into one. Then when we're up there, once over, what the gun put up there in New Year and don't put in the buddy trying to do wire, doing wiring. And the officer, they could say, oh, come up with Happy New Year. And all of a sudden, the bloody Bren gun guns up, and there's a poor bugger dead, and he's been frozen to death. He'd been there, and they've forgotten to relieve him.
Where was that at? Oh, no man's land? Somewhere
yeah, he was in the back. He's in the trench when we're out putting the back wire up in the mangles. And the biggest lap is, when we are out there, we just thought we're in, there's nobody got behind us. When we come back, there's all these Christmas cards behind us. So somebody got there, and we're. Aye, 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 aye,
Christmas
aye.
Cards.
Yeah. get well and get this one. Oh, they sent you Christmas cards. The other thing what you kept you awake was that they had music for you. Rose, Rose, I love you. See the pyramids along the Nile, and they'll keep on telling you to go home and when you were years were. And that was all going on. That was going on most of the night and all.
That was a fairly regular occurrence.
Well, that happened regular. That happened all the time up there. It didn't get as bad later on. Because once you knew what you had been in, they weren't trying to dictate you then.
So what sort of precautions would you take against things like artillery and mortar fire?
Get on, put your helmet on, get on and fare out the road and just hope they didn't hit you. Well, that's all you did. If a rifle, if you hear a mortar, it's going over the top of you. Keep down because it'll spread like wildfire. If it's a shell, you're hearing it, you've got a chance. If you don't hear it, you're away.
What about tanks and anti-tanks? Was there any tanks?
No, there were only tanks in the rear because the tanks was they were digging them in later on. The tanks weren't there. Was no tanks there. They were on 355 on that one.
What about aircraft and anti-aircraft fire?
Aircraft came across there. Aircraft come across there. Well, you've seen them come across. You spotter planes, you've seen spotter planes as well. They came regular as clock. What they were always coming across. And when they come across, you can guarantee there'll be something will come onto you, hammering or something there. Well, they set the motors wheel, they set a bigger barrage up or something like that. That's what they want to draw. What they should do on purpose that way.
Was there much enemy aircraft activity?
The only time we seen aircraft activity is when we first went across. And we didn't realise it was them. But they were. They weren't coming to us, they were going down, further down there. And it was, about three or four of them went down the other side. And as soon as they were down there, they were, I was so straight up, so they just went across. You know, I think they were MiGs up there, and they went there, were MiGs. And that's where it was, and they would come. The only time I remember somebody up there saying, they were enemy aircraft.
Were you ever attacked by aircraft?
No, never attacked by aircraft. Attacked by the back, by somebody making error on his judgment. And that was when we were lucky we stand to when they hit where the hutches were and everything else.
Was Allied aircraft?
No, our artillery.
Your artillery?
They'd get in the wrong heights, they'd get in the wrong places. So they knocked a nice big hole at us. But we were in the front at the time, so when we come back, there was very little sleep that day. Trying to sort us out again. Didn't knock them down, but they knocked, one of the hutches down. Got one, so you had to, accommodate the other gentlemen into the places.
What about machine gun fire?
The machine guns was always fixed position. They fired at regular intervals. They were always down. That was the Browners. They were in. They were fixed in a certain position. Every now and again, they would open up. Borders would open up. Once on patrol, we heard, when we had put an attack in, here company put the first attack in. And when we're coming out, that was the day when we put the white lines out there, put a streamer out. You go out and me and the officer went out there and put the streamer out. I think Arnold done that one when we was there, Lieutenant Arnold before he left. And I think he was there and he put it out. We went out and put it out. And what to come back weekly, put it out, and came and they went in. And then you had to drag it in, but the mortars and everything else, we just pulled as much as we could, bundled it up, chucked to one side.
Well, we talked a little bit about sniping and getting used to snipers and putting.
Oh, only certain, there was only two places where the snipers actually came. Actually, we got one, actually. We worked out where he was. We got him.
So there was only a certain part of the trench that the sniper could
snipe you there. Oh, yeah.
And you worked out where he was sniping.
Yeah, that's well. We put the nets over and we're gone down. It was the tallest way you were gone down there. You were in the beer, so and he'd get the range where he could find it off. And he's quite good at it. Quite honestly, he got very close for a couple of times.
What about casualties then?
Oh, I had a few casualties, quite a few. Well, we see company got away with murder, if I want to put it that way, we got away with murder. Most of them were just little bits and pieces of things like that. Like a lad getting caught with a mortar when he got a picket steel picket off the barbed wire, cut his arm. He, that was what he done. When we're lined up on 355 on that one, and the officer got, he got on the other side, and I'm on the other side of him, and he got in the back, in his backside. And the other lad got, lad could come across and gone like that, and he's marvellous. He put his finger like that and he got shot. He already got a strap all day. And that was the type of thing.
What about illness? Was there much manpower lost through illness?
Quite a bit, because I came down at the line because I got bit by a rat. And I was out when what happened was I'd been on the thing and I'd fall through, like what they'd been there, old positions, and I fell into a trench with a barbed wire trapped down it. And I came back and I must have been, I don't know what it was, but be a bit shattered, I suppose that would be the word to put it in. And I came in and I then just lay down in the bloody thing, like bitters at the time. I wouldn't mind when I got up the next day, Paddy Bland shot the bloody thing. Shot, and the British, the three's coming up, I think it was Blandy or something, he'd be going damn bugger, didn't it? He's trying to shoot them with you.
So, we've talked a little bit about patrols. What kind of patrols were there? There were different types, weren't there?
Fighting stand patrols and guards and guard. That was a fight patrol you went out with a team of 15.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the different types. What about fighting patrols?
Fight patrol was 15 men, two Bren guns on our side, two machines, two there, and out on. You had to carry two, on the fight patrol, you had to carry two forces, which we were very looking to carry. One force and two 36s. Some we used to, when we run 355, and there, we used to use the Americans with a lighter grenade. So we'd use theirs and carry them out. You could put there and put there. And you always went out with a bandage on, a bandage. You had to have a bandage. Well, you always made sure you had a bandage. You always carried a bayonet with. And some of them, at the time, after that one, some were picked up a few things like, right, this game, I had a Colt 45. Somebody had a American bayonet, you know, that type of thing. So you're going out with some, a little bit extra on, you're not supposed to think, but you did. You used to give yourself a bit of, I think, ego was the word it was. That's it.
Who would have been in charge of one of those?
An officer or a sergeant. A CSM might have went out. But the first one I went out with was an officer in there. And we went across and we came back instead of coming back this way. There's a lot of activity in the butt there, so we couldn't come across. And we came in through, I think it was the bloody Turkish lines or something like that. I think it was the Turkish line next to us, or the rock. And he came through there. We didn't stop any, we just went straight and gave him the password. But you had to remember the passwords every time when you got them. Because passwords was, some people was trigger happy, I must admit.
What were the purpose of the fighting patrol? What was the
hoping to stop them from coming across. If they went, you went down. Let me see, the fighting patrol way where there was a right in a big valley. So you'd gone down to the river, you know, down the stream. It was like a stream and river, and it might used to be the old bridge where the farmers have had their coming across. So there was some of them were still in use. You know what I mean? You could get across. If it's the farmers built the bridge, you've got to remember. You can always walk across it. Well, and then when we were there, it was frozen. So you're expecting, you're looking for signs in that one. If you've seen them, right, that was it. You had to charge them, hit them, then come back over. And that was to see you there. And you also to stop them from trying to mass in front of you. Because anything else, the Chinese always mass up in front of you when they come across the attack. So that was what it was. The stand patrol was where you just went down and you just went out for 4 hours or something like that, stop there, come back in.
How many men would be on a stand?
Stand patrol would be four in a wireless operator, depending which way, how far you went out.
And who would be in charge of that?
A lance corporal or a corporal. So most of be an NCO. An NCO in that one, you took them out. They're taking a 66 out with you, which is a big one.
Is that the big radio?
The big radio. If you took them out, you'd have a there. So you'd go further out, and it was normally a quarter, and you'd have an extra man with that one. And that was just because there must have been this movement. Somebody's heard movement, so you're going out to check that and going across.
Yeah, I was just going to ask what the purpose of a standing patrol was.
Well, that's
was,
what I'm saying. But that was when you went there. If that was the case, you would go a certain point. You'd put them down there, right? There'd be a knoll. Most of them was knolls. That's there where the burial grounds are, right? Or something like that. You'd be beside a burial ground, right on the hill, because the burial is on the hill. Then you'd stop there, and you'd go so far along, right? It could be the NCO, it could be the two landers going across. Goes first, so far, listen to hear that one, and you would go, see if there, because the wireless, every time the wireless answers, you've got to, you know, phone in, right? You know, and that's it. So you try to keep that minimum, the noise down to the minimum, but you're out there, and if they're coming, well, you can see them because you're higher up on that side. And it was like a patrol, and they would open up again, and they would bring their mortars or whatever went down on them. That was one of the things. Wire guard was another one. When he went down, you sat there, and that was because the patrol would be going out. So you were there to safeguard them when it came in. If anybody's casualties, anything else, they had to help them in.
And obviously there would be listening posts.
Listening posts was on the top. They were getting suffocated. The Americans are starting to use all these. What a come again after that one. But if you went on the American, when you went through the American there, when you're that far, you had a problem with them because they had this napalm. And now all these type of daft things, I'll call them daft because I was always frightened of the stuff they've started with. And they were always on their boxes where they had wires on it. You could trip on them and that type of thing. So it'd be learning that one. That was a new thing.
Were there any other types of patrol?
Well, that was there. That was an ambush patrol. What were going out then? That was what it was. A fighting patrol.
Same as a fighting one.
An ambush was just the same. The only difference between a fighting patrol and ambush, you're walking. And you're given a certain spot to go, right? You know, a certain part. An ambush one, you go down, you know where the bridge is, you stop there. That one is where this is where the farm is, where it was like a truck. And we are down there, as I said. And we'll come away from there, we had the biggest bison that I've ever known in my lifetime. We had winter gear on, and they were as big as a half a crown. On my box, and we came in, and it was black, and there were just big spines in the things. How they got with them, I don't know, we sat there that big long, but that's what it was, and we came in with them.
When we were talking about your first time in the line, in the front line, that first tour of duty, and you did a couple of patrols then, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think you were saying they're more or less preparing you.
Yeah, just preparing.
What
types of patrols were those? Well, the first one was what we went down was a stand patrol, right? Then we went there, stand patrol. The other team came up, joined up, right? Then we went as a fight patrol and toured all right down the valley in the same part and come back again. Went down one side and came the other way, came back up. Then we done a just sat there for a couple of hours, waiting for any, you know, see if they'd seen anything moving, and we just lined up, and we'd come back like an RF formation up the top end. So that was it there. And that's the first one we're doing. In other words, you're doing a 3-1, doing a 3-1 and that one. The next day you had to go in, and the same again, do the minefields. And unfortunately, happened, doing the minefields. And you found out there was a mistake in the minefields. And you tell them not to go down it. But unfortunately, three men got the wrong road. And that was in two men.
What happened to them?
Donoghue got killed. Hannah, who brought her back from Germany, he took her to Germany and brought her back again. He lost a leg. And the other one just got wounded. I think the other one got wounded.
This was later on, wasn't it? Was this?
No, it was one of the first ones when we first got.
One of the first ones?
Yeah, first one went up. You're going up.
Can you remember when that was?
around about September 28th. It was just setting in cold, and it was getting cold. It could have been October, but it's, I think it was around about that, because it was getting cold and everything else, and the ground was that solid. You could slide then, you know, your boots weren't getting a grip, you know what I mean? You were like that, so you had to be very wary. But it was just the way they'd been fitted up, and it was, you had to climb up a hill, past a knoll, round a knoll, and then down. But it was a very dangerous point that way. It would have, somebody thought it was a shortcut. No shortcuts where minefields are.
So they got caught in a minefield?
No, just caught the side of it.
What sort of effect did that have on the rest of the men?
Well, he didn't much, put another officer in and brought the blokes up, and that was it. He just, somebody's gone. And you think, oh, never happened to me, I hope it didn't, and that's what he did.
Did you know Donoghue at all?
Yeah, I knew Donoghue.
Yeah, Hannah, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, Hannah was the draft sergeant with me. Colour, I don't know, he was a colour sergeant or sergeant when he came out. I met his brother later on in life.
So, what did you think about that? Was someone that you actually knew personally being killed? Did that have any effect on you?
No. All you look is number one. Number one in the mates that's beside you, he's gone, and anybody else there. One less, you've got to get in somebody else. You didn't like anything later on, and then you didn't train. You didn't like the train. When they come across, you had to show them gun on, but you had to have somebody you knew, and that was it.
So the first time you were out in the line, you were describing being in the reserve line, but you obviously did some time on the front line as well.
Oh, I done up there.
During your first tour.
He went up there.
Was there much difference in the routine in the actual front line trench as opposed to being in the reserve line?
Oh, well, as I say, you could do things in the, doing the reserve, what you call reserve, it's not a reserve. But you can stick your head up and you can walk round. But the top end, you've got to be very wary. If you're not on the way, you're on the north, where you're lying down and sitting on the other side, you've got to be out there fire. But it can also get round you, and that's what you're saying. That's when we didn't realise that a sniper had got round the back of him. And he'd get himself fixed, he'd get himself a nice fixture, and he must have had a pretty good set of things for, you know, glasses. Because he soon lined were in, and that was it.
Did you rotate between being in that front line trench and then further back? Was that a rotation?
The second time you go up, and then after that one, you'd done that one. You went up to, you would do, see, depending what the time was, what you were up and see, 3 weeks up and three weeks and 3 weeks back. That was the time over there. You do three. You may do a month and you may get a fortnight, you know, fortnight back. Just hit the look of the draw, was all it was, and what the conditions were at the time. Because you've got to remember, weather too is a big part of it.
So when you completed that first tour in the front line, I think you said about 20 days, 28 days, something like that. Yeah. Who relieved you?
Was it the Black Watch or the RNRs? No, I think it was the Black Watch come up. Black Watch, I think he came into it. I think it was the Black Watch came up. He came up after that. I think it was the Black Watch came in. Because it was the Royal Welsh. Black Watch, I think, came up.
So where did you go from there?
Went back into area 6 or 7. It'd be area 6 or 7 because they're all his areas then. You went back in there. When you went back down, you went down, you dug in. That time you just went down those minefields. You didn't go farther back. You only about a mile out there, a mile, maybe 2 miles down the road. Then when we got down there, you had to dig in then. You had to dig a trench for yourself.
So it wasn't a camp or something?
No, it was no camp. You just dug in again. You dug in with your trench. You got in there. You knew how to do the pick then. You seen the picking made. Got a picket, you got the stair, you got the small one, put it across, stretch some wire across it if you had them. You couldn't get the canvas there, but some of them would pick the canvas up. That was where you could feed them through, like the sleeping, you know, what officers had. They had little sleeping beds, but all we had to do was get a bit of string and stick them together, put your ground sheet over the top, in the blanket. Well, then I think about that time we'd be coming in there, because I think we're starting to get the winter gear in. I think we came down with the winter gear, if I'm not mistaken, then.